or tapes of End Time Meetings, Deliverance Services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Monday afternoon, December the 26th, 1988. Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is the afternoon deliverance service. Jean and Earlene are from Baton Rouge. She's a former school teacher. She's now a grandma. Jean was, but still is, a consulting engineer. That's his business. That supplies his bread. But his business is working for the Lord. Earlene, blessings.
You know, we come up here to deliverance, and we try to share the things that we have learned that hinder us in our Christian life. And sometimes I've been up on this part of the room, and I've looked out on some of you, and I have been saying, Lord, what is that I see? It's like, withdrawing back from a coolness. Well, somebody else needs it, but not me. And I said, Lord, what in the world could that be? We're all here because we want more of you. Why do we have this within us, or on our faces, or in our attitudes, or in our mind? And one day, I felt like I was standing up here. I wasn't teaching. I don't know where I must have been beside Jean or something. And this came to me, 12 years minimum, in the school of humanism. And, you know, we spend 1 hour, maybe 2 a week in church, if we go once, if we're Sunday morning Christians. Okay, suppose we're a little bit more sincere than that, we may have spent a maximum of 4 hours a week in church, hearing the Word of God. If we're really interested in the Lord and we really want to serve Him, we might have put 2 more hours in on Wednesday night. So that's a maximum of 6 hours. But a child, you and me, but especially from 30 and under, have spent 6 hours a day under humanistic teachings. Many times the teachers don't know that they're actually doing this, and many times they do. And just to show you how far it has gone, when our daughter, who's now 25, was in the 5th grade, I think it was, she had a course in situation ethics. And in this, she was given this question, which upset her quite a bit. And it concerned a number of people who had come to a place where they were either shipwrecked, I believe, or something terrible had happened and there were so many of them left. And there was so much food left. So instead of talking about, the questions were, what shall we do since there's not enough food for all these people? And so they evaluated each person. There was an old man there who was very old. Didn't have much of life left. And there was a baby there. Well, the baby was young and couldn't contribute anything. And then there were various and sundry people in between. So the questions were, should we throw the old man overboard because he can't contribute much anymore? Or should we throw the baby overboard? These are the two people who can contribute less to society at this point. And so my daughter said, Mother, you know, it shouldn't be. If there's just so much food, then we ought to just cut it down and share it. She goes back to school and she says, well, what if the old man knows the way home? And what if no one on board can have another baby? That's our past and our future. And so her teacher didn't like that. But anyway, I had never read the Humanistic Manifesto. You know, I've talked about it a lot. I've said I'm against it. But my against it has been very weak, mainly because I didn't know what I was against. So I began a search. There was a man in Chattanooga who had a radio program, and he had had the subject of humanism on there, and it had a couple of men who really believe in it. And I asked him if he could send me their manifesto, and he wrote me a letter saying no, he couldn't. And I should write to this man who'd been on his program, which I wrote to, and asked him if he could send me a copy, and he said no. He didn't say anything. I didn't get any answer. It was no. So one day I went to my library, and I found a book. And it's simply the Humanistic Manifesto 1 and 2. And in it, it's complete and all their theory and all their aims. And these are some of the things that I felt like we have trouble with due to this. And you examine yourself as I go through telling you what it's all about. They deny the Trinity. They deny the deity of Jesus Christ and his atoning blood. And because of this, their teachings all dwell on me, the person, the human. I've noticed in our generation we are unable to feel love from God or toward God. Did you have a long struggle trying to feel love for God? You know, I did. I couldn't believe that God could love me. Maybe you, but not me. Unable to express your emotions toward Jesus openly in the congregation. Unable to respond to what he's done for you. Feeling that God doesn't see you or care for you. And these are some of the things that have come out of our 12 to 20 years in humanism. There are a lot of things that work against us living a Christian life. And among them are curses and sins, sins of the fathers, ignorance. But this is one area that we probably ought to look at because we haven't considered it as affecting us too much. In the church in the last 20 years, if you look at, as you go along, think of the doctrines in the church, not doctrines of the Bible necessarily, but doctrines in the church that seem to parallel this. Here are some that to me seem obvious. The easy believism. Get what you want by faith. What happened to carrying your cross daily and denying yourself? What you say is what you get. If this was really true, half of us would have destroyed the other half by now. Really, Hinduism is incorporated in humanism. It claims this. Humanism is a philosophy. How many of you thought humanism was not a religion? We're told it isn't. We're told humanism is not a religion. And they say we don't allow religion in the schools. All right, let's tell you what it says. Humanism is a philosophical, religious, and moral point of view. As old as human civilization itself, it has its roots in classical China, Greece, and Rome. It expresses itself in the Renaissance, the Enlightenment, and scientific revelation. In 1933, a group of 34 liberal humanists in the United States defined their philosophy and their religious principles. I mean, that's written right here in their manifesto. In Manifesto 1, they say that it is important now that we turn from our former religions because it did not and could not address itself to our problems and needs of today. Now, the Bible does address our problems and our needs to today. It addresses even our innermost problems. If no deity can save us or will save us, then we must save ourselves. They say that their belief is worldwide in scope, and actually what they mean, it's one world in scope. It's resulted in people believing, this is one thing I left out, and this is a problem Gene and I have been running into increasingly lately. People have called us from as far away as Canada and as far away as California, and these are not their exact words, but these are what they say. They tell Gene that they want to be totally set free now. They tell him that's the way Jesus did it. Well, you know, I decided that I would take a look at the Bible and search it through on all of Jesus' deliverances. And not one did he say, you are now totally free. All he said is that you are free from the one you had, and if you go and sin no more, you won't get it back. Jesus didn't claim to set you totally free at one setting. He only said the demoniac was clothed and in his right mind. It's amazing how many demons you can have and be pretty much in your own right mind. Okay? If the people had been set totally free, where were they? Where were they at the crucifixion and the trial? What kept them away from calling out for Jesus to be set free? It also fosters this kind of misconception. After I'm delivered, I'll never have any trouble with that again. Alright, that's totally contradictory to Scripture because in Matthew 12:43 and 45 it says that these demons go out and they wander around in dry places. It's dry out here compared to in you. And so they come back and they look at you. It says if you are empty and swept and garnished, they can go go get some more folk and come back in. And you'll be worse off than you were at the beginning. So being under the influence of humanism causes us to get an unrealistic expectation of the Bible. In fact, we don't even read it for what it says. We put in what we want to hear. They believe that all of the religions in the past, and especially Judaism and Christianity, has lost their significance, and it is powerless to solve the problems of people living in the 20th century. Today, men understand the universe better than he ever has before. His scientific achievements and his deeper appreciation for brotherhood. And a little later in this thesis, they condone abortion and suicide. So what kind of brotherhood could that be? How they have created a situation which requires a new statement of the means and purposes of religion. To establish such a religion is a major necessity of the present. And the point of their religion is to make people personally satisfied. And more people are dissatisfied today, after 50 years of this, than they were when it started. Religious humanists regard the universe as self-existing and not created. In Genesis 1 and 2 and in Jeremiah 10, we find that God created the heavens and the earth and everything in it. Humanists believe that a man is part of nature and that he emerged as a result of a continuous process. Genesis 1, 26 through 27 says that God created man in his own image. And then it says how he created the woman. And it's my belief that they came out of his creation complete and probably have not evolved much at all since that time, physically. I believe we were people and we are people. And I don't believe we were monkeys. I don't believe we pray our father up the tree. Holding an organic view of life, humanists find that the traditional dualism of mind and body must be rejected. You'll find must in this a lot. Now, they want to reject the fact that we are body and mind. And they want to totally ignore the most important part of us, which is what?
Spirit.
We are spirit. 2 Thessalonians 5:23 says, may your soul, body, and spirit be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus. I've got a lot of scriptures on the side of each one of these, but I'm just going to read one. Later on, we're going to write this up, and there'll be a lot of scriptures there. The individual born into a particular culture is largely molded by that culture, and their desire is to mold us into humanists, a godless people. Religion must formulate its hopes and plans in the light of the scientific spirit and method. Does religion need to formulate its plans in the light of anything other than God? If we're to have a belief in God, then science is subject to God, not God to it. In Hebrews 1:3, it said, he is the perfect imprint and the very image of God's nature, upholding and maintaining, guiding and propelling the universe by his mighty word and power. So science is subject to him. So is nature. We are convinced that the time has passed for theism. In other words, there's not three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Deism, there is no God. And modernism and several varieties of new thought. It says in Psalm 14:1, it says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt and they do abominable deeds. There is none that doeth good nor right. Religion consists of these actions, purposes, and experiences which are humanly significant. Nothing human is alien to religion. It includes labor, art, science, philosophy, love, friendship, recreation. All that is in its degree expressive of intelligently satisfying human living. The distinction between sacred and secular can no longer be maintained. What are they talking about? Do you know what that is? That's pantheism. God is in everything, and everything is God. Romans 1:21 through 32 talks about the descent of people who know that God is in existence and then turn from him. The Bible tells us not to make any graven images. It tells us not to forsake the commandments of the Lord our God. And this tells us to forsake it all. Religious humanism considers the complete realization of human personality to be the end of man's life and seeks its development and fulfillment in the here and now. There is no life after death. Hebrews 9:27 says that after death there is what? Judgment. there must be existence to receive judgment. In place of old attitudes involved in worship and prayer, the humanist finds his religious emotions expressed in a heightened sense of personal life and in a cooperative effort to promote social well-being. At the end of that, I wrote a question. What was wrong? We don't have much social well-being today, do we? We have more discouraged, disheartened, and depressed young people than I've ever seen in my life. And I've seen it start even in kindergarten. Listen to this one. And this one affects us. How many times has someone said to you when you got excited about God, well, you don't have to be emotional about it. It follows that there will be. Now listen how positive they say these things. Must, will. There will be no uniquely religious emotions and attitudes of the kind heretofore associated with belief in the supernatural. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, emotions, mind, everything. And thou shalt love, in the same manner, thy neighbor as thyself. Is there much of that left around? Mm-mm. They have a desire to force this on people who believe in God, but what about the claim for brotherhood? 11. Man will learn to face the crisis in life in terms of his knowledge of their naturalness and probability. In other words, bad things are going to happen to you, so just take it with a good attitude. We assume that humanism will take the path of social and mental hygiene and discourage sentimentality, unreal hopes, and wishful thinking. In fact, what has it done? It's done right the opposite. It has caused people to have unrealistic hopes and expectations. And this did fail wonderfully. You know, in God's Bible, he talks about the wonderful plagues he brought. Proverbs 3:5 says, lean not upon your own understanding. Isaiah 1:17-18 says, when we fail miserably, if we comply with God's commandments, he will what? Restore us. We have suicide at an unprecedented rate in people ages 5 to 40. The most opportune time of your life, when you should be the most enthusiastic, what have we produced? People who want to get out of this utopia that we have created. 12. Believing that religion must work increasingly for joy of living, religious humanists aim to foster the creative in man and encourage achievements that add to the satisfaction of life. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy. Religious humanism maintains that all associations and institutions exist for the fulfillment of human life. Therefore, their activities must be reconstituted as rapidly as experience allows in order to effectively function in this modern world. What that's saying is they want to change all our worship. They want to make all of our Christian institutions exactly the same and whatever they want it to be. The Bible says that we have free choice in these things. The humanist is firmly convinced that existing profit-motivated society has shown itself to be inadequate, and they got to bring back some radical changes in the methods and controls. It must be instituted. See, there's so much must be in here. A socialized and cooperative economic order must be established to the end that the equitable distribution of the means of life is possible. What does that mean? If you're willing to work, they're going to take it away from you and give it to someone who doesn't want to work. Now, the Bible tells us to leave in the fields. And in the Old Testament, leave in the fields for those who have need of it. It tells us to make sure that all those who have needs are taken care of. That's the church's responsibility. Okay, but they say that they're going to take it away and divide it out. They demand a shared life in a shared world. In 2 Thessalonians 3:10-11, and I wrote down there, read that, so I guess I'll read it. 2 Thessalonians 3:10-11. For while we were with you, we gave you this rule in charge. If anyone will not work, neither let him eat. Indeed, we hear that some among you are disorderly, that they are passing their lives in idleness, neglectful of duty, being busy with other people's affairs instead of their own, and doing no work. And you know, God doesn't demand that each one of us make exactly the same amount of money. And he doesn't demand that we all fill the same profession. God is all right with God for us to fulfill his plan for our life. And it may be large economically, it may be small. But it's all right by him as long as we do what? We work. We assert that humanism will affirm life rather than deny it. They say that you can have abortion and you can kill yourself, and if the old folks get old and you don't want them around anymore, you can euthanasia them. So when, as you read this, this is the first manifesto they put out. What I get is it's a lot of double talk. You know, it's like speaking with a forked tongue. We're going to have brotherhood, but then we're also going to allow abortion and immorality, and we're going to kill the old folks, and we're going to take everything away from those who are willing to work and give it to those that won't, because we can manipulate those.
It's like that word you use, euthanasia. Mm-hmm. I don't like to use that word because it puts a nice, peaceful meaning to death.
It's murder.
Yeah, that's what you
call it. What it is, it's murder. Listen to this one. Now, this is written in 1973, 40 years after the first one. As in 1933, humanists still believe that traditional theism, especially faith in the prayer-hearing God, assumed to love and care for persons, to hear and understand their prayers, and to be able to do something for them, is an unproved, outmoded faith. How many of you have got healed?
Amen.
How many of you has he given peace?
Amen.
How many of you has he saved from past sins?
Amen.
So you see, these guys don't know what they're really talking about, do they?
Amen.
Salvation, based on mere affirmation, still appears as harmful, diverting people with false hope of heaven hereafter. And then they take this statement, which is meant to manipulate you, and they say, reasonable minds look to other means for survival. In other words, they're saying to you, you're not reasonable if you believe this. The next century should and could be the humanistic century. In other words, they've built it up to the place where they believe that from here on out, they can have what they say we're going to have. I have lots of scripture out at the side of that one. Deuteronomy 11, 26 through 28. And that tells you how to have a good society. In these scriptures, it tells you what you should and what you shouldn't do. In fact, just take the book of Leviticus and Deuteronomy and read it. It gives you the basis of a good, friendly, loving, peaceful society. It says, the future is, however, filled with dangers. In learning to apply the scientific method of nature and human life, we have opened the door to ecological damage, overpopulation, and dehumanization institutions, totalitarian repression, and nuclear and biological disaster. And yet they wanted to have all this. It's the result of what they wanted to have. All right, now they have 15 or 18, what they call it, their thesis. 17. And the first one they attack is religion. This is their second one now. The first one was mild. The second one is much stronger. We believe, however, that traditional dogma or authoritarian religions have that place revelation, God, ritual, or creed above human need and experience do a disservice to the human species. Now, we know all religions do not serve the human species. But we know that the whole purpose of God was to serve us. Jesus came to do what? Serve. He came to serve us. That should make us get the big head, but it should make us be ever so grateful that he really looked down here, saw our misery that we'd gotten into, and he wanted to serve and help and instruct and guide us. We find insignificant evidence to believe in the existence of a supernatural. It is either meaningless or irrelevant to the question of survival and fulfillment of the human race. As non-theists, we begin as humans without God, nature, not deity. Joshua 1, 7, and 8 tells you how to have a good, meaningful life. It tells you to keep the precepts of God before you at all times, to be strong and of good courage and follow these precepts, and you'll have good success. It says, we reject the features of traditional religious morality that deny humans a full appreciation of their own potentials and responsibilities. Actually, that's a lie. If a person is a Christian following God, then he can realize his potential. Then he can learn and take up his responsibility. So that one is an out-and-out what? Lie. Traditional religion offers solace to humans, but as often it inhibits humans from helping themselves or experiencing their full potential. Now, you know, the Bible says that the Lord did these miracles after he went back to heaven with the disciples, working with them. See, he doesn't do it for us, but he does it working with us. If we make one step to obedience, one step to learn, then he makes many steps to help us. We can, and they reinstate their appraisal before, we can discover no divine purpose or providence for the human species. While there is much that we do not know, humans are responsible for what we are and will become. No deity will save us. We must save ourselves. You know, you could spend all day just answering what that says. But they say there's no purpose for us. Now here they say there's no purpose for us, no divine purpose for us, but they're going to spend all this time trying to help us have a meaningful life or help us to realize our greatest potential. John 3:16-17, Acts 4:12, Romans 1:16, Romans 10:10, 2 Thessalonians 3:15, Psalm 9:7, Isaiah 28:15, all answer that. Promises of immortal salvation or fear of eternal damnation are totally illusionary and harmful. They distract humans from present concerns, from self-actualization, and from rectifying social injustice. Actually, if you follow the Word of God, you will correct all of those things, won't you? There is no credible evidence that life survives the death of the body. We continue to exist in our children and in the way that our lives have influenced others in our culture. Hebrews 9:27, 2 Corinthians 2:5-9, and all of Revelation tells us there's life after death. Ethics are situational, needing no theology or moral or ideological sanctions. And the Bible in Exodus and Deuteronomy contain correct ethics and do not foster self-centeredness. But this fosters self-centeredness, selfishness, greed. We strive for the good life here and now. Reason and intelligence are the most effective instruments that mankind possesses. What does the Bible tell us? Fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Get wisdom, and with wisdom get what? Understanding. Now listen to this. I'm going to read this all the way through to you, and I want you to listen to it. And think how it contradicts itself from the first statement as it goes to the last one. The preciousness and dignity of the individual person is a central humanistic value. Doesn't that sound lovely? Individuals should be encouraged to realize their own creative talents and desires. We reject all religious, ideological, or moral codes that restrict the individual, suppress his freedom, dull his intellect, dehumanize personality. 6. This is for the individual. In the area of sexuality, we believed that tolerant attitudes often cultivated by Orthodox religion and Puritan cultures unduly repress sexual conduct. The right to birth control, abortion, and divorce should be recognized. Now, up at the first sentence of this, it says, the preciousness and dignity of the human person is their central value. If it is, why is abortion one of the things they believe we should all have a right to have? Why do they believe that divorce should be recognized and made easy? It hurts children. We do not wish to prohibit by law or social sanction sexual behavior between consenting adults. The many varieties of sexual exploration should not in themselves be considered evil. Wonder why we have AIDS and all these sexual diseases if it's not evil. It didn't result in anything good, did it? Individuals should be permitted to express their sexual proclivities and pursue their lifestyles as they desire. Now, in Deuteronomy, Leviticus, it tells us what kind of sexual conduct we should have. And if we conduct ourselves according to Leviticus and Deuteronomy, we don't have any sexual diseases, do we? And we don't put curses on our children of a sexual nature. We believe in the legal right to oppose the government. We believe in fair judicial process. We believe in freedom of association and artistic and scientific and cultural freedom. It also includes the recognition of an individual's right to die with dignity, euthanasia, and the right to suicide. Exodus 20:13, Deuteronomy 3:17, Revelation 9:1. God is the one. Jesus has the keys of what? Hell and death. In other words, we're supposed to live here, follow him, and reach our Christian potential, and we go when he says. We shouldn't take our own life. All people should have a voice in developing the values and goals that determine their life. I've lived quite a long time, and I found that when I did that, I wrecked it. And I found that God's rules are much better than mine, and that his wisdom is much better than mine. People are more... Now, you tell me, do you understand this sentence? People are more important than rules, prescriptions, and regulations. What is the purpose of rules and regulations and whatever this other word is, prescriptions? Isn't it to help us, to protect us? To save us from trouble we get into otherwise? There's a little contradiction there. The separation of church and state and the separation of ideology and state are imperative. The state should encourage maximum freedom for different moral, political, social values in society. Just before that, I believe it says that, didn't it say over there and there that there was not going to be any difference between the social and the secular? And now we're saying that it should be separated? And it's like we go from one thing to another and they cross each other out. It's a direct contradiction of Manifesto 1, number 7, where it says the distinction between secular and sacred can no longer be maintained or tolerated. They believe that we need to shorten it down. They believe that what we need to do is to change our money system so that we can all have no money. Then they go on with number 11. The principle of moral equality must be furthered through elimination of all discrimination based on race, religion, sex, age, and moral origin. That's good. Then it goes on down here to say, though, individuals should be encouraged to contribute to their own betterment. That's good, too. If they are unable, then society should provide a means to satisfy their basic economic, health, cultural needs, including whatever resources make possible a minimum guaranteed annual income. We are concerned for the welfare of the aged, the infirm, and also the outcast. Now, it sounds good except for one thing. That's all going to apply for our minimum basic welfare, you know. And it encourages you to feel that if I fail, that's okay. They'll take care of me. I don't have to really try. And God's the same way. If I miss it, he's going to ultimately reconciliate me and I'm going to make it. It makes us passive. It makes us lazy. At the same time, it makes us greedy and desiring of everything. It talks about the new innovative and experimental forms of education are to be welcomed. And you know, it's a strange thing, but when I got out of school, I was a mountain girl from Tennessee. Didn't have a really high-class school to go to. We had sort of the bare necessities. I went 2 years to college and received a certification for teaching in elementary school. Took the National Teacher's Exam and passed it. Now, I did not receive what would be considered a really fine education. But the children coming out of school today who are supposedly receiving a fine education cannot pass a National Teacher's Exam. So that tells me that the accumulation of knowledge during those years is getting less and less, not more and more. Yet they're talking about all these things that are supposed to make it better, but it doesn't. They believe that if we have racial, religious, and ethnic equality, that we're going to have a good, integrated community. And the Lord says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Then they go on to the world community. They want to develop a system of world law and a world order based on transnational federal government. We thus affirm a commitment to the building of world community, at the same time recognizing that this commits us to some hard choices. In other words, they have committed to try to bring about the one world government. And that's all about that is in the book of Revelation. The world community must renounce the resort to violence and force as a method of solving international disputes. In the 55 years since the first thesis was put out, we've had more war and more violence than ever before. We have more war and more violence on American streets than we've ever had before. Do you know that you can walk the streets in Africa and the streets in Europe and you are safer than in America? If you haven't been out anywhere like that, I haven't been, but I have a friend who has, and she says she goes anywhere she wants in France. No problem. But she has places in Baton Rouge she wouldn't go for fear. They want an international board to control industry so that it can't pollute. World poverty must cease. Hence, extreme disproportionate in wealth, income, and economic growth should be reduced on a nationwide basis. Now, we've had our experiment in that. We've been giving away money to the third world countries and trying our best to bring them up to what we think they ought to be, and what has happened? Not much change. And now they're in debt to us, and they probably can't pay it. Technology is a vital key to human progress and development. In the Bible it says, the knowledge of God is the beginning of wisdom. We resist any moves to censor basic scientific research on moral, political, or social grounds. Listen to these two contradicting sentences. We are particularly disturbed when technology and bureaucracy control, manipulate, and modify human beings without their consent. In other words, first they're saying we're not going to oppose it. Then they say we do oppose it. If what they stand for is really true, then there would be no abortion, no fetal experiments, and no mental operations. They want to expand communications and transportation across the frontiers so that people can travel without any problem. We must learn to live openly together or we shall perish together. Today we have pretty open communications. Our TV is pretty, nothing's hidden, is it? Pretty open. But instead of taking us upward, it has influenced us how? Downward, base and cruel and inhuman. What more daring a goal for humankind than for each person to become, in ideal as well as in practice, a citizen of the world community? Isn't that a wonderful goal? We can have a one world government. Now, what I have read in the Bible, it seems to me that the one world government is going to be pretty close to the end and it's never going to work. Now, out of the 114 signers of this declaration, guess who the largest group is? The largest group, teachers and professors. Who would you think would be the next largest group? Ministers and rabbis. Now, why do you think they would target teachers, professors, ministers, and rabbis? Well, not everybody goes to church, so everybody does go to school. Everybody has to go to school. It's the only place in the United States that everybody has to. The best place to catch them was there. How many of you knew that that was what the humanists stood for? Until I read these two things, I would have thought they were much more peaceful, that they were ready to let me do my thing and they do theirs. But when I read all those must be, it must be changed, it must be renovated, it must be, I realized, no, they don't mean any freedom for me. They don't mean any freedom for Christians. Now, whenever you have been brought up in this situation, and like we were taught last night about love, Blanche, about love, All right. Love. What's the definition of love? Well, I'm going to read the definition of love to you out of the Bible in a minute. But humanism destroys the ability to love because it insinuates both lightly and seriously that the human must have what he needs, wants, and thinks he needs. What's that called? Lust and greed, selfishness. When lust and greed are replaced, are in the place where love ought to be, then you get people who can't really care. You get what we've got today. Let's just put it bluntly. You get what we got. Love wants to give and share and protect. I don't see much of that today, do you? Lust wants to grab for itself, use everybody around it, and help nobody. Most marriages are conceived and consummated in lust. Most children are conceived in lust. Most lives are lived in lust. Now let's read about God's love. When I read this chapter, I always feel like I have so far to go. 1 Corinthians 13. I want to read out the Amplified because it's so graphic. If I speak in tongues of men and even of angels, but have not love. Now love is that reasoning, intentional, spiritual devotion, such as is inspired by God's love for us and in us. I am only a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. And I told you right now that the kind of love the world talks about isn't going to be it. That's not going to be it. It's the kind that you get from reasoning, intentional, spiritual devotion, such as is inspired by God's love for us and in us. And if I have prophetic powers, that is, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose, and I understand all the secret truths and mysteries and possess all knowledge, and if I have sufficient faith so that I can remove mountains, and I have not love, God's love in me, I have nothing. And a useless nobody, completely contrary to what we just read about how everything's got to revolve around me. Even if I dole out all that I have to the poor in providing food, and if I surrender my body to be burned, or in order that I may glory, but have not love, God's love in me, I gain nothing. Listen to what love does. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious, nor boils over with jealousy. Ooh. Is not boastful or vainglorious. Does not display itself haughtily. Boy, us ladies can walk around real haughtily, can't we? It is not conceited, arrogant, or inflated with pride. Fellows have that a lot. Two. It is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Oh, I've done that so much. I've acted so unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way. For it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. I've been all of those. Thank God I've been delivered of a lot of them, too. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. I have a ways to go. Do you? It does not rejoice in injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, and is ever ready to believe the best in every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Boy, we weaken quick, don't we? When in our spiritual life, something rises up against us, we begin to sway. I don't know if God really loves me. I thought I was born again. Love never fails, never fades out, or becomes obsolete, or comes to an end. As for prophecy, that is, the gift for interpreting the divine will and purpose, it will be fulfilled and pass away. As for tongues, they will be destroyed and cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. That is, it will lose its value and be superseded by truth. For our knowledge is fragmentary, incomplete, and imperfect. And our prophecy, our teaching, is fragmentary, incomplete, and imperfect. But when the complete and perfect total comes, the complete and imperfect, incomplete and imperfect, will vanish away, become antiquated, void, and superseded. So if we follow after the humanistic teachings and doctrines that have gotten into us, and we can't avoid them. Why? It's like being in your mother and daddy's house. You cannot avoid being just a little like them. So you can't avoid some of this stuff seeping into you, even though you were opposed to it. In my generation, we were more opposed to it than is the generation today. And yet I see it in me. I see it in me often, and I'm amazed at it. If someone had asked me to vote for people to have basic salary, I might have read their little thing and said, well, yeah, I think people ought to be taken care of, and not really taking into account that person's particular needs or whether they were willing to work or anything. So you have to be careful what you let fall into you. And what I'd like us to do today is ask the Lord to just open our eyes and let us see how much of this humanism has just sort of subtly gotten in. And even though we're born again and we believe God, yet we have the hardest time believing Him. We have these spirits of unbelief. Okay, why don't you stand up and we'll pray. I'm going to sort of lead you, and if you don't agree with anything that's in here, don't pray it. I mean, you'd be stupid to pray it. How many of you are glad that you've been told some of the true aims of humanism? It'd be a good thing if you went to the library. So what I did is I checked a book out, which I don't think it was supposed to be checked out, but it was right during the holidays just recently, and they were so busy. And I think that's why I got to take it home. It's a research book. It really isn't supposed to. But I took it home and ran it off on the machine, and I ran the book back down there before they had a chance to call me and tell me I couldn't keep it or anything. So, but what we really need to do is not just live around and feel like that we can read our Bible and we'll be okay. Because, see, a lot of things happened to us before we read our Bible. How many hours have we been under this? If you add it all up, it would come to a tremendous amount of hours. None of us have probably read our Bibles that much, except for us older folks. We might have. I doubt if I have, but, you know, some older people may have. All right, Father, I thank you for exposing some of the true aims of humanism to me. I realize that it is against you. Your presence, and your power, and I reject that. I have spent years under its direction, and in many subtle ways, his aims interferes with my believing you. Obeying you and trusting you. I ask you for the wisdom, knowledge and discernment, to see
what is in me
of the humanistic religion, and
show me
how it interferes
with my relationship with you
and with those around me.
I break the curse
and the power
of this Antichrist
spirit
on me today.
In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, and this is where you better be careful.
I commit
to be more diligent in reading, studying, and applying
Your word
to my life.
I will not try to excuse myself
from obeying you.
From
But will begin
to obey your precepts
as soon as I learn them.
I
thank you for helping me discern
between your holy word
and humanism.
Thank you for working with me
as I work
on ridding myself
of the influence of humanism.
I break these biblical curses
that have come upon me
through humanism.
Adultery, harlotry, prostitution.
Idolatry.
Refusing to fight for God.
Pride.
Doing the work of God deceitfully.
Aborting or causing the unborn to die.
Murdering indirectly.
Not preventing death.
Witchcraft.
Teaching rebellion against God.
Sacrificing humans.
Being carnally minded.
Being a rebellious child.
Destruction of family priesthood.
Family disorder.
Perversion of the gospel.
Choosing that which God delights not in.
Stubbornness and rebellion.
Taking away from the Bible.
Willing deceivers.
Disobedient to the Bible.
Keeping cursed objects.
The house of the wicked.
Stealing.
Failing to give the glory to God.
Bestiality.
Putting trust in man.
Rewarding evil for good.
Turning someone away from God.
Not disciplined children.
Cursing the rulers.
Homosexuals and lesbians.
Blaspheming God's name.
Non-productivity.
Improper family structure.
Refusing to do the word of God.
Looking to the world for help.
Offending children who believe in God.
Any biblical curse that hasn't been called out.
I renounce and break
these curses over me
and my family line
in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Did you realize there would be that many curses in the Bible concerning this particular philosophy?
Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Okay, I'm going to go through basic deliverance as usual, rejection, bitterness, rebellion. I'm going to go through this list that Earlene has here. And then I just feel impressed if there's something that is along this line that I haven't called out. I'll tell you when. I'd like for you to come up and stand here and tell me what it is, and I'm going to call it out of the group. Okay, Satan, we come against all powers, principalities, evil forces in this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. We come against all demons, inside or outside of anyone present, over this city, state, nation, and world, in hell or out of hell. The Bible says, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." We intend to exercise that power to set ourselves free. Satan, we come against you by the power and the blood of Jesus Christ, by the word of God, by the name of Jesus, by the authority of the believer, and the unity of our spirits. Satan, we tell you that we sit in heavenly places with our Christ Jesus. We're over you, your fallen angels, your demons, and all forces of evil. We command you to line up in rank and file in order and to come out quickly. We bind every power that you have and loose ourselves from you in the name of Jesus. Lord Jesus Christ, we ask that you send the gifts of the Holy Spirit as needed to minister to the needs of the people and to accomplish what you want done here today. We ask that you send legions of angels, warring angels, ministering angels, the Holy Spirit, the sevenfold Spirit of God. We ask that you cut off all communications between the demons outside and the demons inside the people. We ask that you remove all demons from the air around us. We are careful to give you all the glory, honor, praise, and credit for everything that's said or done. And we ask all these things in the blessed name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Master and Savior. And we take authority over Satan according to the whole Word of God. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Do you agree with me? Okay, in the name of Jesus Christ, we command the spirits of rejection to come out of the people. Come out. Spirits of rejection, fear of rejection, self-rejection, inability to give and receive love, prenatal rejection, conception and lust, rejection by the mother or father, rejection by brothers and sisters, rejection by the pastor, rejection by Christian brothers and sisters. We command all the spirits of rejection to come out. Conception and lust, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All these evil spirits, we command you to line up in rank and file and order and come out quickly. We bind every power that you have. We loose ourselves from you in the name of Jesus Christ. And we remind every evil spirit, we remind you of the Word of God that's been used here today and in this camp meeting. We stand upon the whole Word of God, the Holy Word of God. We remind you that you're going to be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where there be weeping and gnashing of teeth, where the worm shall never die and the fire shall never be quenched. You'll be cast in there with your master Satan. You'll be in total loneliness and total despair, and you have very little time left. You'll be tormented for eternity. I remind you, demons, of your torment. I remind you, I torment you with the Word of God. I stir you up and I drive you out in the name of Jesus Christ. Now come out of the people. I want the whole family of rejection. And I loose the spirits of love upon this people in Jesus' name. We are loved. Almighty God loves us. We love each other. We love ourselves. Now come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. All these spirits of rejection. I want all the rejection, the deep-seated rejection, all the hurts and the deep hurts. I want it to come out of this people right now in the name of Jesus Christ. I stir you up and I drive you out. And I remind you, demons, that we hate you. We hate Satan. We hate all sin and iniquity. We hate everything that God hates. And come out of the people right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out of them, loose them, and set them free in Jesus' name. That's right. We fall out of agreement with you, demons. We're no longer going to pet you. I drive out spirits of self-pity. I command the spirits of self-pity to come out in Jesus' name. Come out, spirits of self-pity. I command you to go in Jesus' name. Now, you will go. You have no choice. That's right. We love ourselves. I remind you, demons, that we love ourselves. We forgive ourselves, and we love ourselves. Now, come out in Jesus' name. Come out. That's right. We love our neighbors, and we love God. Now, come out. I want all these spirits of rejection to go. You have no choice. You will come out. That's right. Rejection by the husband, rejection by the wife, by the mother, by the father, by brothers and sisters. Self-rejection, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I want every work, every root, memory, scar, nest, and habit, ruler, demon, and lesser demon, every demon named and unnamed in these common demon groupings to come out as I call your name out. I command the whole family of rejection to come out. Rejection, all hurts and deep hurts and scars and nests, I command you to go in Jesus' name. Now come out of us right now. Loose us and set us free. All the rejection, all the hurt and rejection that we have suffered. Rejection because of our health. Rejection because of mentally or physically or spiritually. Any type of rejection. Rejection because of sex. I drive out all rejection because of sex. Our parents wanted a boy or they wanted a girl. Now come out. Rejection because of sex. I command you to go in Jesus' name. All self-rejection. I command you to go in Jesus' name. Now come out. All self-rejection. I bind your power and I drive you out in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for sending your spirits of love, for letting us know that we love each other and we are loved. I thank you, Lord, for loving us. I thank you, Lord, by your Holy Spirit for showing your love. Now come out. Spirits of bitterness. Bitterness, roots of bitterness, ruler of bitterness, I command you to go in Jesus' name. Now come out, all this bitterness, you must go, you have no choice. The root of bitterness, I want all the root of bitterness to go in Jesus' name. All that bitter gall, that bitter taste in their mouth, I command that to go in Jesus' name. Now, come on. The bitter gall, the bitter taste in their mouth, I command it to go in Jesus' name. I break your power and I drive you out of us in Jesus' name. Now come out, every spirit of resentment, hatred, unforgiveness, come out. Come out, resentment for others, resentment for our loved ones, I command you to go. Resentment for parents, I command that to go in Jesus' name. Now come out. Come out, resentment for parents, I command that to go in Jesus' name. You will go, you have no choice, you will come out in Jesus' name. Now come out, hatred. I want hatred and self-hatred. Come out, spirits of self-hatred. Unwilling to forgive ourselves. Spirit of unforgiveness for ourselves and self-hatred over the things that we have done to ourselves. I command those to go in Jesus' name. Now come out. Self-hatred, I command you to go. Every spirit of unforgiveness, we forgive everyone who's hurt us. I command those spirits of unforgiveness to go in Jesus' name. Now come out, all spirits of unforgiveness. You must go. You have no choice. You will come out of us in Jesus' name. All those spirits of unforgiveness, unforgiveness for the husband or unforgiveness for the wife or unforgiveness for anyone. We forgive ourselves. We forgive others. We loose ourselves from them. We loose others from their sins who've committed against us. Now come out. Spirits of unforgiveness, I command you to go in Jesus' name. Now come out, every spirit of violence, temper, anger, retaliation, come out in Jesus' name. Come out, violence, temper, anger, retaliation. Let not the sun set on your anger and give place to the devil. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Now come out, spirits of retaliation, spirits of violence, all those violent spirits and anger spirits and temper tantrums and fits and anger fits and giving in to and blowing your top and so forth. Come out in Jesus' name. All these evil spirits are tied in with violence, temper, anger, and retaliation. We command you to go in Jesus' name. Come out now, spirits of murder, suicide, death, abortion. I especially call out the abortion and the agreement with abortion. Any husband who agreed with his wife having an abortion, or his girlfriend, or any woman who had an abortion, any type of abortion, I come against the spirit of murder where the woman murdered the child within her womb by taking some type of salts and things like that. I come against the spirit of murder and that killer spirit. I call out that killer spirit, the spirit of murder, the spirit of abortion. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. I bind your power and I drive you out in Jesus' name. Now come out, every spirit of fear. I call out spirits of death. Come out, spirits of death and fear of death. Go, all death and fear of death that has to do with abortion. If your parents wanted you to be aborted and they didn't, I come against that spirit of death that came in, that spirit of death, that fear of death. Come out, death and fear of death. I command you to go in Jesus' name. You must go in the name of Jesus Christ. Now come out, the whole family of bitterness. We demand a complete cleansing of the whole family of bitterness. You will come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Now go right now. Loose them and set them free in Jesus' name. The whole family of bitterness. I command you, I bind your power and I drive you out. That bitter gall, I command you to go. I call out any spirit of cancer and arthritis that came in through bitterness. Spirits of cancer, spirits of arthritis that came in through bitterness. I stir you up. I stir up any dormant cancer, any dormant arthritis, I stir you up and I drive you out. Every evil spirit that came in through bitterness, the open door of bitterness, I command you to go in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. Spirits of cancer, spirits of arthritis, I command you to go in Jesus' name. Come out. Cancer of all types, I call you out. Cancer, malignant, non-malignant, skin cancer, internal cancer. Come out right now in the name of Jesus Christ. I call out spirits of warts and moles and skin disfigurements. I call you out in the name of Jesus Christ. I pull you out by your roots in Jesus' name. Come out. Spirits of warts and moles and skin disfigurements. I command you to come off of the faces. Come off the faces of the women right now in Jesus' name. I command you to go. I curse you at your roots. I command you to die in Jesus' name. Now come out. Come out, spirits of cancer and skin cancer, malignant and non-malignant. Skin disfigurations, I call you out. Come out, birthrights, I call out birthrights. I curse those birthrights and birthmarks in the name of Jesus Christ. I curse those, I drive those out in Jesus' name. Now come out. All types of warts and moles and skin disfigurations, I curse you in Jesus' name. I curse you at your roots. I command those roots to die. I command you to come out in Jesus' name. Now come out. Come out, every spirit of arthritis, bursitis, neuritis, tendonitis, Come out. Inflammation of the joints and bones in the marrow. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. All these crippling diseases. I call you out right now in the name of Jesus Christ. You must go. You have no choice. You will come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Now come out. Every spirit of rebellion. I call out spirits of rebellion in Jesus' name. Rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. I break the tie between witchcraft and rebellion, and I call you out in Jesus' name. Now come out. All rebellion. Rebellion against the against God or against the husband. I command you to go in Jesus' name. Come out, spirits of rebellion. You will go in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, every spirit of self-will, selfishness, self-idolatry. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All these self-demons. I command all these self-demons to go in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. All these eye demons, a big eye and a little eye, I command you to go in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out right now, the big eye and the little eye, the big eye that the men have and the little eye that the women have. I call you out in Jesus' name. Now come out. Come out right now in the name of Jesus Christ. All these self-demons, I call you out, the family of self-demons, I stir you up and I drive you out in Jesus' name. Now come out, every spirit of stubbornness. Stubbornness is iniquity and idolatry. Come out, every spirit of stubbornness. That's right, stubbornness. Stubbornness against God, unwillingness to obey God. Come out, spirits of stubbornness. We call you out in Jesus' name. Now come out, those spirits of stubbornness. I command those spirits of stubbornness to go in Jesus' name. Your power is broken. I drive you out in Jesus' name. That's right. Now come out, every spirit of disobedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice. I call you out in Jesus' name. Come out, spirits of disobedience. I command you to go in Jesus' name. You have no choice. You will come out of us in Jesus' name. We don't want you, disobedience. We will obey God. Now come out, spirits of anti-submissiveness, unwillingness of the wife to submit to the husband, unwillingness of the husband to submit to God. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out, anti-submissiveness. Now come out, the whole family of rebellious demons. All rebellion against true authority is rebellion against God. Now come out, spirits of rebellion, every spirit of rebellion, I command you to go. I call out spirits of rebellion against your proper role in life, rebellion of women being women and men being men. I call those the rebellion against the sex, the sexual rebellion. I call you out in the name of Jesus Christ. The unthankfulness to God for our sex. I command you to go. The rebellion against sex. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I call out all rebellion against sex. I come out spirits of masculinity. Masculinity in the women and femininity in the men. Come out in Jesus' name. Masculinity in the women and femininity in the men. I call out the homosexual spirits and the lesbian spirits. Come out, spirits of homosexuality, spirits of lesbianism. I command you to go in Jesus' name. Come out, all those effeminate spirits in the men and masculine spirits in the women. I command you to go in Jesus' name. Come out right now, destruction of the family priesthood. I command you to go in Jesus' name. Now come out, spirits of humanism. I want that whole family of humanism demons to come out in Jesus' name. Come out. Spirits of humanism. Humanism that comes in through the school, especially through the educational system. I command the humanism that comes in through the educational system to come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Now come out, all those antichrist demons. I call out all those antichrist demons. Come out, spirits of antichrist, antichrist demons. I come against any demons that come in through the school of nursing or the school of being a nurse or being a doctor. I command those demons to come out in Jesus' name. Come out. The demons that come in through being a nurse or being a doctor or being a medical person, I command those to go in Jesus' name. Those false teachings, I call out those false teachings that are taught to nurses and doctors and dentists and so forth. I command those false teachings to go in Jesus' name. Now come out. Come out, the false teachings that come in through nursing and being a doctor. We break that Hippocratic oath in Jesus' name. We break that Hippocratic oath. We drive the spirits out. The spirits that came in through the Hippocratic oath, we break those. We drive those out in the name of Jesus Christ. Now come out. Come out, all humanism demons, antichrist demons, rebellion demons. I command you to go. Now come against the spirits of witchcraft, witchcraft control. Come out, spirits of witchcraft and witchcraft control that comes in through humanism. Through the humanists that want to control us, I command those to go in Jesus' name. Now come out. Witchcraft control that come in through humanism. Come out in Jesus' name. That's right. Come out, spirits of denying the divinity of Christ, denying the salvation of the cross. Come out right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, denying the divinity of Christ and the salvation of the cross, denying the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out, all false teachings of humanism. I command those to go in Jesus' name. Now come out, false teachings of humanism. Come out, spirits of deception. I call out spirits of deception, deceit. Come out, spirits of deception, deceit. Come out, spirits of despondency and despair that come in through deception. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out, lying and lies. I call out spirits of lies. Come out, lying and lies. I command you to go in Jesus' name. Every lie, that's right, the false lies, the lies of humanism. I call out the lies of humanism. I command those to go in Jesus' name. Go, the lies of humanism. Come out, all human reasonings. I command you to go. Human reasonings rather than God's reasoning. Come out, the spirits of pride, ego, and vanity. The spirits of pride, ego, and vanity that come in through, I'll do it myself. I am my own God. I am God. Come out right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Pride, ego, and vanity, come out in Jesus' name. Go. Go, human reasonings, ungodly reasonings, come out in Jesus' name. Now come out, spirits of worship of science, medicine, and money. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I call out those demons in the medical, anyone here that's in the medical profession, I call out those demons that cause you to worship medicine, that medicine is your God, that you worship science, you worship medicine. I call those medical demons out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, the demons that come in through nursing and medicine and so forth, I call you out in Jesus' name. Now come out right now. Come out, spirits of aggression against God's laws. We'll have our own laws. We'll follow our own laws. We won't follow God's laws. We'll put God's laws down. Now come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Aggression against God's laws. Spirit of a one world government. Spirit of New Age movement. Come out in Jesus' name. Spirit of denying God's love and care. I'm bigger than God. God can't love me. He can't love me. I'm so bad he can't love me. Now come out, those demons that tell the women especially that God cannot love them. Come out, the demons that tell the women that God cannot love them, that they've been so bad, and they're just bigger than God, that God can't love them. Now come out right now in the name of Jesus Christ. The demons of denying God's care and love. Come out, spirits of denying God is the Creator. Come out, the spirits of God, that we worship the creature rather than the Creator. I command those to go in Jesus' name. Now come out right now, loose us and set us free right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, spirits of evolution. I call out spirits of evolution and reincarnation. Come out, spirits of evolution and reincarnation. Come out, spirits of evolution and reincarnation. I command those to go in Jesus' name. Now go. Evolution and reincarnation. I command those to go in Jesus' name. Now come out, every spirit of situational ethics. In other words, we do what looks okay for the situation, not what is according to God. Now come out, situational ethics in Jesus' name. Come out, the false teaching that man has no spirit, that we're not a spirit being, that we're just flesh and blood. Come out, all rejection of God is supernatural, or the supernatural going to the occult. I command those to go in Jesus' name. That's right, going to the occult rather than to God. Come out, rejecting God is supernatural. Come out, every spirit of self-fulfillment, self-actualization, self-realization, self-improvement. Come out in Jesus' name. All these self-demons, I'll do it myself. No, thank you, God. I'm bigger than God. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Or I am God. Come out, the I am God. Those demons that come in through the I am God movement, I call you out in Jesus' name. Come out right now in the name of Jesus Christ. I come against spirits that deny the true worship of God, deny true prayer to God, deny that God will answer, deny religious emotions. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All spirits of denial, denial of anything that's God. Lord, I'll just take the part of the Bible that I like. I'll just reject the other. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. That partial gospel, I call out that partial gospel in Jesus' name. Come out. The partial gospel, I command you to go in Jesus' name. Come out, spirit of worship of reason and intellect. I command you to go. Spirits of intellectualism, the people who worship their mind. I command you to go in Jesus' name. Come out, spirits of unreal hopes, wishful thinking. Go in Jesus' name. Go, unreal hopes and wishful thinking. Come out, spirits of fantasy. I call us Christian fantasy. Christian fantasy and Christian unreality. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out, the spirits of belief that having things bring joy. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Worship of things more than worship of God. Worship of material possessions. Worship of money. The root of money, the worship of money is the root of all evil. Come out. I call out the worship of money, the root of all evil. I command you to go in Jesus' name. Come out. Worship of money. Worship of possessions. I command you to go in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out, the worship of money and the worship of possessions. Come out right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, demonic subjection. Come out, spirits of demonic subjection and socialism. Conquest for a good life. Come out, spirits, right now, in the name of Jesus Christ. Demonic subjection. I call out spirits of domination, manipulation, control, witchcraft. Where anyone has practiced this over you, I call those out in the name of Jesus Christ. That's right. Come out right now. Socialism. Conquest for a good life. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, spirits of laziness. Come out, laziness, slothfulness. Come out right now. Spirits of laziness. Spirits of slothfulness. Spirits of slumber. I command you to go in Jesus' name. Come out, spirits of covetousness and material lust. Come out, spirits of covetous, spirits of material lust. I command you to go in Jesus' name. Come out, the demons of I don't care, greed and intolerance. Come out in Jesus' name. Demons that tell you I don't care. I don't care if I leave God. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Spirits of greed. I call out all spirits of greed and covetousness and material lust. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. Come out, spirits of intolerance, intolerance for herself and for others. Come out in Jesus' name. Spirits of dependence, demonic dependence upon others. Demonic dependence upon the pastor. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out, spirits of competition. Come out, spirits of strife and competition. We command you to go in Jesus' name. Come out, every spirit of vulgarization. Come out, spirits of cussing and cursing and telling dirty jokes and foul language. I command you to go in Jesus' name. Come out, the Christian cussing, taking God's name in a so-called Christian way, and it's the type of cussing. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Go. Go. Spirits of mockery. I call that spirits of mockery and deceit and deception. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out, spirits of dehumanization, self-pity, and self-hatred. Come out, dehumanization, all self-pity, self-hatred. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Go. Go, all hatred for self and pity parties. I command you to go in Jesus' name. Now come out, the sexual devious spirits. I call out sexual devious spirits, sexual impurity. I call out all sexual impurity and sexual devious spirits. I call out those unclean spirits, those wicked spirits, those unclean spirits, spirits of uncleanliness, sexual deviation. I command you to go in Jesus' name. I bind your power and I drive you out in Jesus' name. Come out, every spirit of abortion and divorce. I command every spirit of divorce to come out. Spirits of divorce and separation. Those abandonment spirits where the parents abandon the children when they get divorced. Come out. The abandoned spirits. Spirits of divorce and separation. We break those curses in Jesus' name. Come out. Every homosexuality spirit. Lesbianism spirit. Come out. Spirits of bestiality. Having sex with a beast. I call you out in Jesus' name. Every spirit of bestiality. We command you to go in Jesus' name. Come out, spirits of promiscuity, sexual exploitation, incest. I call out the curse of the bastard and the curse of incest. Come out, the spirit of the bastard, the spirit of incest. I command you to go in Jesus' name. Come out, spirits of sexual exploitation. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. Go, I call out the abused child, the spirit where the child abuse, sexual child abuse. I command those to go in Jesus' name. Promiscuity. Come out, spirits of lasciviousness. Come out, spirits of lasciviousness and promiscuity. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. Go. That's right. Sexual promiscuity. Come out, spirits of sexual diseases. I call out spirits of sexual diseases. Gonorrhea. I call out the spirit of AIDS. I call out all types of gonorrhea and sexual disease. I call out the spirit of AIDS. I stir you up, AIDS. I come against spirits of dormant AIDS in the name of Jesus Christ that don't manifest for 7 years. I stir you up and I command you to come out in Jesus' name. Come out, the dormant spirits of AIDS. I command you to go in Jesus' name. Go right now, spirits of suicide, gloom, worry, dread. Come out, spirits of depression, despondency, despair, discouragement, defeatism, hopelessness, suicide, death, morbidity. Come out in Jesus' name. Spirits of gloom, the heavy spirits, spirits of heaviness, worry and dread. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, spirits of euthanasia. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. We'll just kill the old people and get rid of them. They're in our way. Come out. Spirits of euthanasia are killing or murdering for the old people. Come out. Spirit of dislike for hard work and something for nothing. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Laziness. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. Violence and force. Come out. Spirits of force. Spirits of violence. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.